Welcome to the show. This is the H2O Show, and I'm your host, Zachary Waters. I'm joined today by Emma Smith.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Not bad. How are you?
I'm wonderful. So, I've heard you're going into psychology and law in college, and I feel like a good question to get you started into that path would be, do you think people are inherently good or bad?
Okay, so this is a question that comes up a lot in my psych classes that I've taken. I think that people are inherently a blank slate, leaning towards good is what I would say. I think that people have a lot of love in their hearts when they're first born, considering that, like, we as babies always try to look for people to connect with, like our parents and stuff. So I feel like if we didn't have that inherently loving nature, then we wouldn't be able to survive as a species.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't done like any research. I haven't taken like a psychology class, but I mean, you're given a good solid argument. Thanks. You'd make me believe it.
Thanks.
Do you believe that you're a good person?
Yeah, I think I do a lot of good things. I try to be a good person when I can.
Say you were given a hypothetical of a magical button that would give you $1 million. But if you pressed it, it would kill 1,000 people randomly around the world. How many times would you press this button, if at any?
I don't know if I would press it because, well, okay, I enjoy money. I think a lot of people enjoy money.
Of course.
But if it, like, 1,000 people, if it took away, like, one person from, like, 1,000 families, that would be really sad. I feel like if it was less people and I pressed the button, I wouldn't feel so terrible. But I don't think I could press it if it was 1,000 people. That's a lot.
How many people for it to kill, then would you press it?
If it was like it killed off maybe like 75 people, I might press it once. But I don't know. It's just...
You terrible, terrible person.
I'm sorry. what about you, mister?
So, I feel like, you know, $1 million is a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
And it's 1,000 people. That being said, I do not know these people. And I feel like some part of me, the greed within my mind would take over, and I would definitely press this button.
Zach, it sounds like you're just an inherently bad person.
But I do a lot of good things, so am I really a bad person?
I don't know.
I share wonderful theater with the world.
Yes, you
sharing,
do.
Sharing the stories of many people from our past.
Yeah, I agree. Theater, Zach and I both do theater together, and it is... It's really important to put out the stories of those people that we portray in shows. So, yeah, I think you're right. You're a good person, I suppose.
Thanks, Emma.
You're welcome.
That kind of segues into, like, another topic that I had thought of. With your involvement in theater and music, because you play instruments, right? Mm-hmm. You must have, like, some enjoyment doing that. Since you've been doing it for a while. And would you consider that a creative outlet for yourself?
Yeah, so music is one of my biggest passions. I do a lot of singing. I've been singing for a long time. And I play a bunch of instruments. Clarinet mainly, but I play oboe, bass, clarinet, tenor, steel drum, and a little piano. Guitar if I'm absolutely forced to, but I don't like it.
So some would say you're a nerd, huh?
So yes, a lot of people say that, which is fine. But yeah, I think music for me has always been something that I can depend on and rely on. It makes me really happy no matter what. And I tend to lean on it when other parts of my life are falling apart, if that makes sense. Like,
oh, for sure.
I think that everybody has to have multiple things going on in their life at once, because if you put all of your eggs in one basket and that basket falls apart, then you won't have anything else to lean on.
All the eggs are broken.
All the eggs are broken. So what I do is I try to be involved in several different things so that, like, you know, music and theater and all the other things that I'm involved in, so that if something happens, I'll have something else to lean on. And for me, music has always been that baseline where if other parts of my life get tough, I can depend on it to help me get through it all. And it just makes me really happy. So I would say that it's an outlet just because it helps me put my creativity out into the world, which I hope helps other people as well. But it also just makes me feel like I'm doing something, you know, that makes me happy, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, actually. You say you've been doing music for a while. How long specifically?
So I've been singing since I was 8 or 9. I was in the 3rd grade, and then I've been playing clarinet since I was in 4th grade, so like 10-ish. So it's been, I'm 18 now, so it's been quite a bit.
Yeah, a little while.
Yeah.
And would you consider yourself good, like, after 10 years?
Yeah, I would consider myself good. I practice a lot, which is a lot of people don't do, so that gives me a leg up.
Exactly. Like, some people could be, like, doing band for years but not practice outside of school.
Right. And, you know, that's quite common, which is fine.
I mean, you do you, right?
Yeah. To each their own. The other thing that's really nice is that when I go to college, I get, like, they're giving me a lot of money to be in, like, their marching bands and their choirs and stuff. So I'm getting a lot of scholarships through it, which is also great because I never anticipated that I would. So it just kind of happened.
What I'm hearing is I need to make a time machine and pick up music.
Yes.
So college can be cheaper.
Yes, that's exactly what you need to do because college is not cheap.
No, not at all. So other than like giving you a outlet of creativity and making you happy when other parts of your life are going downhill, I guess, how else has music changed you, if anything?
I think it has made everything flow better, if that makes sense. I always incorporate music into almost everything that I do. So it just makes everything flow together and I can make connections. Like, in different parts of, like, if I'm learning history in school, I can always relate it to, okay, what kind of music was there during that time period? So I can have a connection to what I really enjoy. Or, like, math has a lot to do with music, so it helps me in school. And then also when it comes to theater, for example, we always do a lot with music in our shows, and also it just helps to get us in the mood of the show if we know what type of music. Because I feel like life is just so much better with music, and I can't really imagine living without it. So I think it makes everything kind of flow together, makes me happy, creates learning opportunities, and also I really like to teach younger kids too. Like, I volunteered at the elementary school and middle school levels, helping kids put together their instruments for the first time and play a note, and that's always fun too, because I just hope that I can inspire some other people to get into it. And I think a lot of people don't realize that no matter what your age is, you can always get into music. You know, the saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I don't think that applies when it comes to this. Like, it will be very hard to learn an instrument, especially as you get older. But I think the reward, it's worth it. So don't be afraid to try something new is what I'm saying.
That's incredible.
Thanks.
Because I know, like, most of the music that you'd play for school is, like, more classical or stuff like that. But what kind of music do you listen to on, like, a day-to-day?
Okay, so don't judge me. I like a lot of classic rock. Like, I really enjoy the Grateful Dead, really enjoy the Beatles, obviously, because if you don't enjoy the Beatles, I don't know who you think you are. But I like a lot of Aerosmith, Buddy Holly, I really liked. And, yeah, I like a lot of classic rock. But, on the other hand, Bruno Mars, fire.
So if you like a lot of classic rock, have you ever learned like any of those songs on like a clarinet?
Not clarinet. Actually, it's funny you would say that. When I was in elementary school, one of the reasons I got so good so quickly is because my dad is a major Beatles fan, and that's kind of how I got into the Beatles. But one Christmas, right after I picked up my instrument a couple months prior, he bought me this Beatles book full of clarinet music with all the Beatles songs, and he would make me sit down for like 2 hours after dinner every night and just try and learn these songs as a fourth grader who had never played it before.
So do you still know how to play any of them?
I'm sure I could. I don't... When it comes to, like, older classical rock, if I want to play it and sing along to it, I always go straight to the piano for the most part. So if it comes to, like, one of the Beatles songs that have piano, like Hey Jude or Let It Be or whatever, I always will play piano and sing with it.
You're telling me you're not going to listen to Aerosmith on the clarinet?
I am not. Maybe that's what you should do, Zach. Pick up the clarinet and learn how to play Aerosmith.
I think that would be my new creative outlet. Forget computer science and theater. I'm going to be playing the clarinet.
I think it's important. Everybody should incorporate music into their lives, whether it just be listening to it or playing it or singing or whatever. I just feel like everybody needs it in their life. I feel bad for the people who don't get to experience it. And I feel it's such a part of everyday life, you know.
It's definitely a huge part of my everyday life. I'll, you know, in the drive to school or even like in the shower, I'll be listening to some music. I'm a wonderful singer.
Are you?
Only to myself,
though. Would you care to demonstrate for the people?
Absolutely not. But, you know, I think I'm wonderful when no one else can hear me.
Oh! Oh, good. Just, what kind of music do you like?
See, a lot of people
Justin
say
Bieber.
I love Justin Bieber, but a lot of people say they listen to everything, and a lot of them are lying. And I say that because, you know, they'll be like, "Oh, I listen to everything." Then you'll play one song, and they're like, "Oh, but not this." And personally, I would like to stick to the belief that I will listen to any song. Because I can at least appreciate some parts of it. Like, yes, I listen to Justin Bieber. I'll listen to Drake. But I'll also listen to, like, Mozart sometimes when I'm studying. Like, there's a large spectrum of what I listen to.
Personally, as long as somebody doesn't listen to country music, we can be friends. If you listen to country music, why are you here?
Why are you here? You're on my podcast. You're telling me we aren't friends?
Watch your tone, Zach.
Tell me we aren't friends, Emma.
Yes, I'll tell you right now.
What the heck?
Nuts.
backtracking a little bit.
Focus.
Yeah, a little bit of focus here. Backtracking a little bit. We spoke very, very briefly on theater. Would you say it's easy to act?
Now it is for me. I think
when
I started, it was so hard. And I've always been pretty confident public speaking wise and standing up in front of a big crowd. I've never had an issue with that. But when I started acting, it was really, really challenging. Like, there are so many different components that you have to think about all at the same time. It's like the ultimate multitasking challenge, I think. Where you have to remember your lines, which I've always been awful at. And on top of, like, having all of your lines memorized, you have to put so much emotion into it. Your physicality is extremely important when it comes to theater. And just the overall interaction and connection to the story, it's a lot to do. And I don't think, when I first started, anyway, I don't think I was very good at multitasking. I was good at doing one thing at a time, but I wasn't very good at putting it all together. And that's understandable, especially considering that I started acting when I was in middle school. But I think that as I got older and kept doing it, it came more naturally. And even now, it comes easier to me, but I don't think it is easy at all. It's hard. And even though I've never had a challenge getting up in front of a big audience and talking, I still get anxious. Like, after all these years, it's still like nerve-wracking, you know?
So what I'm hearing is it's definitely not for everybody.
Not for everybody, but if you want to find out, you can try.
I don't think I've had like that similar experience. I feel like I feel like I've gotten better, but I also feel like I haven't improved, if that makes any sense at all.
I think you've improved.
Like, I feel like I've gotten better as an actor, but the steps that I take to, like, when doing a show, I like, it just feels the exact same.
I see. I think it's more unconscious than we realize. I think a lot of people don't see improvements, but they are there.
Yeah, I kind of just walk around and recite lines and hope it works out.
Just go for it, see what happens. Yeah.
Like, I just stand where I'm told to stand and, I don't know, move my arms a little bit here and there.
Move your arms. That's important, Zach.
You know, I think it is.
On the topic of theater, aren't you so excited that we placed second at the State One Act Festival?
You know, I feel like, no disrespect to Herman High School by any means. They did a wonderful show. They performed Antigone. However, I feel like Gorham could have just taken first.
You know, I think Gorham could have taken first. I'm not mad that Antigone won, though, because their show, like, Herman's show was beautiful. So I'm wicked excited. But I also, on some level, it would have been nice to win first place, but I'm also excited that we placed it all, because Gorham has never placed at States before.
Yeah, you know, it's like, I don't know, a double-edged sword, I guess, because, like, yes, we placed, and we've never done it before. However,
I feel like we had a better shot.
We could have placed first.
I think
it's just that competitive part of me. Even though it's not a competition, it's a festival.
No, it's a competition.
It's a competition. what, apart from, like, the multitasking, what are, like, challenges or struggles that you think you've faced from being in the theater world?
It's really exhausting. We have to be at rehearsals all the time. It consumes, like, our entire life for a little bit, especially when we're getting towards performance time. I feel like I'm at the school constantly and I don't get a break, which is really unfortunate. I think it's just trying to keep it all balanced, because by the end of shows, I crash. Like, I'm so tired. And so, I don't know. I think one of the more challenging parts is trying to stay awake and keep that energy and stay connected to the show, which can be very hard after so much time, because you work on shows for months and months, and so at the end it's just hard to keep holding on to it because you've been doing it for so long.
I feel like that's definitely the hardest part with the one act, because, like, we do our school shows and then we do a regional festival, and then if you place, or, like, place first I should say, you get to go to States, and, like, that's just an extra, like, month of doing the show. Right. But, like, with our fall plays, it's, like, it's just that one weekend. And, right. You know.
With the musical that we do at our shows, it's two weekends. And the musical schedule is insane. Like, we're there until 10 o'clock at night. We're there on weekends from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., sometimes 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And it is absolutely detrimental.
I'm so sad, so incredibly sad I never got to show my singing and dancing moves.
Zach, fun fact, A, you should have done it. I think I would have enjoyed seeing you. B,
I wouldn't have enjoyed it.
I'm a terrible dancer. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay. I'm glad.
No, but I feel like I could do a musical. However, hearing all those
horror stories
of the hours of being there, I could never do it.
I don't blame you. There was twice, my sophomore year and this year, my senior year, where I tried to not do it, and I still got roped in. Yeah, I can't say no to my music teacher. I love him dearly. So when he was like, will you run microphones for us? Like, I couldn't say no. And so I did it, and it was probably the worst mistake.
I mean, you could have said no.
I could have said no.
You could have.
I could have.
But no, you didn't. apart from music and acting, what are, like, some overall, like, societal issues that you think that we have? Like, specifically in our generation.
Our generation, I think one of the biggest issues is, like, so much screen time. It's really sad. When I was a kid, I was raised, my parents wouldn't let us have any, like, electronics until I hit middle school, and I didn't get a phone until I was in high school, and I respect it so much. Like, at the time, I was so mad at my parents.
Oh, for sure.
I was so mad because I thought I was missing out, but looking back on it, I'm really glad that I got to experience that true childhood, And I think less and less children are getting to experience it. And I understand, I'm not trying to judge parents who need to use electronics to kind of help their kids through everything, but I just wish that we were able to, as a society, agree that young children shouldn't be given access to unlimited screen time, you know?
Mm.
I wish that we were able to see and hear and experience everything like we used to when I was a kid.
So, you say you experienced that true childhood. What are, like, some of your favorite memories from childhood?
Favorite memories? Okay. My dad and I, my dad is my best friend, and when we were younger, he would take me and my sister, because he didn't have any sons, so he would always, like, treat us like anybody else, and so he would take us out into his workshop, particularly me, because we were really close, and whenever he had to work on something, he'd always hand me, like, a board and a couple of random nails to, like, hit into the board. And so when I was, like, 5 years old, he taught me to swing a hammer and screw some screws. And that was probably one of my favorite things. We just did stuff together, and we were always out in the garden. My dad and I gardened together. We still do. But those things were fantastic. We spent probably 90% of our time outside when I was a kid. Like, I can't remember a time when I was a child where we weren't outside unless we were sleeping.
That sounds wonderful.
It was lovely. It was like summertime outside, wintertime outside. Like on snow days, I particularly remember like my parents complaining, you know, everybody else's kids sleep in on snow days, but we
no,
used
you were
to,
like up
we,
at the crack yeah, of dawn outside.
We would get the phone call that we were getting a snow day, 5:30 a.m. 6 a.m. we were in our snow pants and we were outside.
Sun's not even risen at that point.
I know.
Okay, I feel like this might be, like, a generational experience. I know in my childhood, I used to hit my shins a lot with a Razor
yes!
scooter.
Oh my god, I don't know how Razor hasn't gotten sued for those dangerous things. You would try to pick it up and then swing around at, like, 50 miles an hour and
yeah.
clock you right in the shin.
I don't think I ever actually owned a Razor scooter, like, personally, but I have so many memories of hurting myself on one. I just don't know how or why, but those were, like, the most dangerous toys I ever played with.
Or, like, there was this other, like, do you remember, I don't know what they were called, but they were, like, it was this long, skinny thing. It was like almost like a skateboard, but it was
a
shaped
ripstick?
Like a figure eight. Yeah.
Yes.
Bro, those were also so crazy dangerous.
Razor was just pumping out the dangerous toys.
I know.
That and my largest fear when I was younger was stepping on Lego bricks.
Oh,
I don't know if you've ever done that.
Yes.
But that was the worst part.
I know.
Especially because I used to have like a massive like bin full of just random assorted Legos.
I did too.
And like I used to dump them out on my floor
and just
play with them. Like I would just like build like whatever structures. Then I'd like pick up the structure, put it away, and of course, there was random Legos askew.
Askew.
So, say I'd, like, go play outside or something. When I'd come back inside, take my shoes off, walk into my room, and just step on a Lego.
It's like the world, everything goes black when you step on a Lego. It's like...
That and, like, just stubbing your toe.
Oh, my gosh.
I haven't done it for a while, but I'm still in fear of the next time I'll do it. Because it happens more than it should. I feel like I should learn how to walk.
Yeah. Well, I feel like... Everybody, you gotta have a little bit of danger in your life from time to time. And when I was a kid, I would, like, climb trees a lot.
Oof.
And the amount of times, I don't know how I didn't get a concussion or any broken bones growing up, because I've fallen out of so many trees. But, you know, it gave me character. I think everybody needs some character building.
Yeah, I mean, like, character building for sure. Did you ever eat dirt as a kid?
Of course I did.
Because I feel like... That's a big character builder. I personally never ate dirt. However,
do you regret not eating dirt?
No, not at all.
I feel like it's good for the immune system.
Some say it is. But my younger brother, I remember we used to play outside, and he was like, he was the kid that would like jump and just roll around in mud puddles. I cannot do that by any means. I feel like that's just too disgusting for me.
I did that. Continue.
But I vividly remember us going to the beach one time, and we're building sandcastles. And, you know, he's like 5 years younger than me. So, you know, I went my own separate way, built my own sandcastle. And, of course, he had to come over and just, like, break it. However, when breaking it, he, like, grabbed a fistful of the sand and just shoved it in his mouth.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, I don't know what was running through his little mind, but...
Sometimes some kids are just a few fries short of a Happy Meal, you know. And that's how it is, and it's okay.
I'm gonna start using that sentence. Few fries short of a Happy Meal. Oh my goodness gracious.
I am too sometimes. It's because I'm blonde, I think.
Yes, it's because you're blonde.
Thank you.
But so there's, like, definitely a large mental health crisis going on that our society faces. What do you think some causes are? Because obviously, well, not obviously, but it could be those darn Razor scooters.
Well, listen, I'm not saying that Razor single-handedly created this mental health crisis, but they might have contributed.
But what do you think some causes are?
I think a lot has to do with social media and seeing everybody's lives just look a lot different on screen than they do in real life. For example, I think everybody compares each other, like, compares themselves to other people, which is really unhealthy, and I do it a lot, too. I don't mean to. I don't think anybody intends for that to happen.
It's more like subconscious.
Yes. And it's really harmful, especially to the, like, younger teenagers, like, preteens, 12 years old, I think is a big milestone in a lot of people's lives. And I think that comparison of seeing all of the happy things that everybody posts online, because why would you ever post something sad online? You know, you always want people to see how the fun parts of your life. So then another person looks at all the fun parts of somebody's life and is like, wow, why is their life so good? Why can't mine be so good? Mm. And yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it. It's just comparing myself to other people made my life really hard for a long time, and I have discovered that the less I care, the happier I am, you know?
And that, I mean, that all ties into, like, screen time at a young age and not experiencing, like, what the world is while eating dirt.
Right.
Yeah. But apart from, like, limiting how much we use social media and limiting the, like, younger ages, how do you think that we can help / like change how we are?
Yes, I feel like if people, even if nobody limits their screen time or social media use, I think learning how to detect when things are superficial, if that makes sense, I feel like social media, because it's such a part of our lives and how obviously it's not going to be going away anytime soon, I think learning how to deal with it, starting younger, would definitely be beneficial. And I think another thing, too, is there's such, particularly in Maine and everywhere, there's a huge shortage of psychologists and therapists and all these other things. And I just hope that soon a lot of people will start to gain more interest in that, because I want everybody to be okay, and if we don't have resources to help people feel okay, then it's not gonna happen, you know?
Yeah. So after hearing that, I definitely think you're a good person. I think not pressing the button is definitely lines up with your personality.
Thanks.
You're welcome. But you know, that's got me a little down, so let's move away from that topic.
Okay, please.
Let's go someplace a little more fun.
Okay.
If you could travel anywhere in the world, like, you had unlimited budget, you could do anything there you wanted, where would you go and why?
I'd probably go to France. I'm a lot French. Like, my mom's completely French. And a lot of her family, like, not in more recent generations, but, like, her great-grandmother and stuff, they were all... Or my grandmother, my mom's grandmother, they were all in Canada and on that region. But a lot of her previous family moved from France to Canada. And I think it would be really interesting to just experience, like, that whole culture, considering that I've never been outside of Maine, New Hampshire, and Massachusetts. Mm. That's, like, all of my traveling experience. So if I could go somewhere where I could connect with what my culture is, then I think that would be really cool. Also, France is just beautiful in general.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, do you know any French?
No. No. My mom's first language is French. And all the time I'm thinking, oh, I should learn French. Everybody speaks French in my family. And then I took, a couple of French classes. And I've decided that foreign language is just not for me. I'm not good at it.
English is the way to go, I guess.
English is the way to go.
Well, I feel like we've touched on multiple different subjects. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thanks.
I think that's going to wrap it up. This has been episode 3 of the H2O Show. I'll see you on the next one.